he deserves the respect. And to me, to go and get Falk and sign him to an extension with a six in it, I believe.
Yeah, 6.75.
I don't care what they do with Petro. He's from my hometown. I don't really know him, but I think they're nuts not to bring him back.
I think he's a fantastic player. It's just, you've got Parayko, who I think is a really good player, too. And I think he's on a 5.3 or 5.5, something friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But your right side, your third pairing right shot defenseman is Falk making 6.5. Like, they're going to have to, something's going to have to give there.
Bob McKenzie in studio, what do you think's going to happen there?
Well, they've been playing Pietrangelo on the left side because he's good enough and flexible enough to be able to do that. So Doug Armstrong, let's look at it from both sides. From Doug Armstrong's perspective, you've got an opportunity to parlay Joel Edmondson and a prospect who isn't going to make the difference one way or the other whether you win any more cups or not. And he brings in a top four defenseman like Justin Falk, who can play top line minutes with Pietrangelo on the left side. He's improved his blue line, and he's also given out a contract that, in his mind, insulates him if Pietrangelo does decide, I want market value, and I'm going to leave St. Louis, then at least he's not got a gate. The hole isn't as gaping as it would have been if he hadn't traded for Falk. Now, if you're Pietrangelo, for sure, you're the captain of the Stanley Cup champion team. You haven't had any contract talks, and they bring a guy in from Carolina and give him 7 times 6.5. Now, Petro's going to want a lot more than that, but it's going to be one of those negotiations where Doug Armstrong says, you know, he was quoted by Pierre LeBrun today in The Athletic saying, you know, we are not going to pay anybody superstar money. We're just not. So the notion that, you know, $10 million or a defenseman 9.5, I'm guessing, is off the table. And that's what they appealed to Braden Schenn. They said, here, it's 8 years, and you're in your 30s already. That deal is not going to look very good in years 6, 7, and 8, but they don't care. Same way the Washington Capitals didn't care that Oshie's deal is not going to age well. They're Stanley Cup champions. They want to keep the window open. And if they can get, if Pietrangelo is willing to take less to stay in St. Louis, they're keeping the band together, and they've improved their team by having Falk. But if Pietrangelo is not willing to take less, and that'll be his call. Because it's going to be one of those negotiations where you see how much space is left, and you say, okay, we can give you 8 years at $8 million or 8 years at 8.5. And I'm pulling these numbers right out of my backpack, so they're not legit at all. But the point is, let's say you were getting 8 times 8 or 8 times 9. 8 times 8 is so $64 million. What if somebody else was going to give you 7 times 9? $63 million. So that extra 8th year that St. Louis can give him, and knowing that he's in his 30s, some team may not want to give him 7 for...
What if some team wants to give him the Carlson deal or the Danny deal?
Listen, same draft, same age as Carlson and Doughty.
He doesn't have the Norrises, but he's got the
cup. He doesn't, and he's not those guys, but... You know, some would say he'll probably, you could make a case that his market value is closer to those guys than it will be whatever haircut he needs to take to stay in St. Louis. But that'll ultimately be his call. He'll decide. And I can get, but he's got to be careful too, because you want to go to a contending team. So let's bring this back as we always do on Toronto radio station. Mm-hmm. What if he were available? What would the Leafs give him? What could the Leafs give him? They got to be careful because of the dollar. They got to sign Morgan Riley down the road. They've already got all the big boys up front. We know that. So what would be the max number that they could get? Could he get that much more from Toronto than he could from St. Louis? And does Toronto establish itself this year as a legit Stanley Cup contender where he would want to be? Not just because it's his hometown.
Well, it's an interesting view into the psychology of a Cup winner, where you would think the players would believe they have even more leverage because, hey, I just supplied you with a cup, the first cup we've ever had.
And right. The captain who played fantastic in the final, thought you would think that he would be issue number one.
Absolutely, but based
only,
on that
there's
mentality.
There's only so much money to go around, and they've committed money to Tarasenko, and they've committed money to Schwartz. And
I get that, but if you're Pietrangelo, aren't you thinking, okay, let other guys, say to Braden Schenn, there's only so much for you.
Right, like that's,
instead of it happening to the captain.
It's amazing when people cry poverty. Like, their job, Doug Armstrong's job, is to make it work, not to, to not to say, okay, you need to take a discount because we gave X, Y, and Z this money. That's your job.
And what I'm saying is, if they didn't win the cup, I think they'd be like, we got to pay this guy. But now they've won, they're like, nah, we got our cup.
Right.
Like, we'll pay what we feel like we want to pay.
But here's the thing. There's two ways of doing things in the NHL. There's the Boston Bruin model, or there's the Toronto Maple Leaf model.
But the Leafs are so desperate.
I understand that. It's a little bit I say that knowing that it's a little bit circumstance in terms of the nature of the players you get. Auston Matthews is a unique player.
Right.
And it all happened at a unique time before the Leafs had won anything, and they had to turn over Nylander, Matthews, and Marner all in a very short period of time. They had to sign these guys coming out of entry level, and the dynamic had changed on the RFA market. But what Doug Armstrong's looking at, he's looking at Patrice Bergeron's contract, and he's looking at Brad Marchand's contract, and Pasternak's contract, and Chara, the way he does business, and what they've done with McAvoy on a bridge deal, and what have you. So that's what he's saying. Boston's not paying anybody $9 million, $10 million, $11 million, or $12 million. And the St. Louis Blues have Tarasenko on a really affordable contract for what he does. Same thing with Schwartz. Now they have Shen. Now and they've got Parayko, and they've got Falk. Everybody's making five or six or seven.
But you got to have confidence in your program. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Boston's been to three cup finals in the past 10 years. Yep. They've won one. They can say, sorry, Charlie, you want to leave? Get out of here, man.
Absolutely.
Toronto cannot.
But St. Louis, because they won a cup.
Exactly. They got it
But they might also, if, you know, Petrangelo was a pretty big part of that cup. Although the funny thing is, this is the bizarro world, anytime you talk about the Blues, you can't not talk about how bad they were in the first half of the season and how good they were in the second half of the season. And that was true of midway through last year when they were in last place. We were talking Petrangelo trade rumors, and it wasn't because we were making them up. It was because Doug Armstrong was listening on everybody. He was listening on Tarasenko. He was listening on Petrangelo. He was listening on all those guys. And then they brought Binnington up, and they got on a roll, and it was like, whoa, pump the brakes. We're not trading anybody. We're playing pretty good here.
Yeah.
But they were ready to cash guys out last year, midway through the season.
That's what I before he came on, that's what I was saying, but I wasn't sure. So Tarasenko was in play, too.
The whole team was in play.
There wasn't anybody. One untouchable, so I'm wrong.
Yeah, listen, it would have taken a huge offer to get Tarasenko out. And for that matter, it would have taken a huge offer to get Petrangelo out.
Right.
But
they were listening.
But they were prepared at that point when they were in last place. Doug Armstrong was prepared to do just about anything.
Well, how dangerous is that going to be for teams in January? You know what's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
we're in dead last, but
is
we'll
that,
what, happened
is
a year
that
ago.
What you're going to learn then? Is to, because if he would have blown the band up right then, there's no chance they win the cup.
No.
So is that the off-season lesson for some of these managers, is to hold pat?
Could be a curse, though, too.
Oh, it could be. You're right.
Because it's more likely a curse than a blessing in disguise, because we're probably never going to see that again.
That was a massive outlier.
January 3rd.
Who's ever in last place this year, I guarantee you, is not making the playoffs or winning the cup.
Yeah. Move your players.
Yeah.
That's probably what they should do.
Now, keep in mind, too, though, when you talk about the St. Louis Blues, at the beginning of the season, they were viewed as a legit threat to Winnipeg and Nashville in the Central Division. You know, it wouldn't have been a ridiculous notion to say at the beginning of the year, this St. Louis Blue team is a cup contender if they get some goaltending. The only reason people weren't all in on the Blues before last season is because they were looking at Jake Allen and saying,
no way.
Not consistent enough, not going to get it done. And so, as I say, it was just a weird circumstance where Binnington comes up and saves everybody's life.
Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider in studio. Winnipeg and Pittsburgh tonight. Their defense corps is the talk of the league because of Myers leaving via free agency. Bufflin decides on day one of camp he's not playing. Now Kulikov with a personal leave. I believe he'll be back on Thursday. I thought I read that today, but he won't be playing tonight.
Morrissey, day-to-day.
Morrissey's out. Like, this is a mess.
It is. And everybody says they got to do something. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Go trade for Jack Johnson? I don't think so. I mean, there's two. The players that are available may not be that much better than some of the guys they've got. the players that are available make too much money that, you know, unless you go seismic and say we're going to trade one of our big wingers, you know, Ehlers or Connor or Laine, they're not, and right now they're not prepared to do that. They're going to try and weather this storm, get Morrissey back one thing at a time. Hopefully Morrissey, who ran into, had a collision in the pregame warm-up the other night, yeah. And the fear is maybe he's got a concussion. We don't know that. He's not been diagnosed, or at least they've not publicly said anything. But they're hopeful he'll be back sooner rather than later, because he's the linchpin guy. Yeah. The Bufflin thing really hamstrings them. It screws them really badly.
I got to be honest. I would be pissed if I was a teammate.
And I wouldn't want him back.
You're drowning. And this guy's like, yeah, not fishing, sure I want to be there. And like, I get it, because I'm sure, you know, we've played with guys who, you know, I'm sure at some point are like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. But Bufflin somehow has to be keeping up with that team and going like, man, there's now Kulikov takes a personal leave, Morrissey's out, like just so many things, and he could be a guy to kind of help them through that, and he's hamstringing.
Think about how much pressure would be on him, though. Well, like, if for whatever reason pressure is something he doesn't want to deal with right now, you're not coming back tonight. He'd be playing 30 minutes in Pittsburgh.
And even he had purportedly didn't skate or train all summer.
That's good.
And you've not had a training camp, and you're coming off a bad ankle.
What do you think that weight looks like when he steps on the
skate? We need a weight reveal in Winnipeg.
We're doing a weight reveal next Friday.
I'm not coming in that night.
This Friday. For this guy.
It's going to start with a 2, and then we're not sure what the other 2 balloons are going to float up.
I'm worried. I'm worried.
I think you'll be fine.
I don't really care. I mean, it is what it is, but I don't think it's going to
be good. I'm betting the second number will be a 5.
No. No
way. You don't think so?
I think it could be a 7.
No, it's not going the other way.
It's not going
the other
way.
You're chipping away. I can feel it.
Yeah, looking good.
Yeah. Exactly. You're looking good.
How about the suit on Bob last night? That was a spectacular suit.
I thought
that was a 5-year extension suit.
Yeah, it was an aggressive move. It was.
That was a spectacular suit last night.
And the other 3 guys all chose that night. Well, Pooley always wears a dark suit.
Yeah,
I think Pooley's got one color of suit.
Dale Hunter.
That, but everybody else had black or gray on last night. So
yeah, major pop. It was great.
I brought the major pink out.
We got to ask him what's the worst rink in Toronto. We were talking about old rinks and crappy rinks that we grew up in with chicken wire and all that. I mean, you must have been in some of the.
We played in a rink in Whippy that had chicken wire when I was a kid.
Yeah, that would have been the old Whippy Arena in downtown, I bet.
Just some of the grittiest.
The older the rink, the more I like it.
The character.
Yeah, like St. Mike's is awesome.
St. Mike's got character.
Scarborough Arena is fantastic.
Where do they have that?
North Toronto.
North Toronto is a cool rink.
It's a great rink.
I always remember playing at North Toronto. It was minor midget, and the good players played like full midget. I was in this like minor midget lower level thing, but you play the North Toronto Panthers. And I always remember with me and my buddy, we go into the skate sharpening shop and we're getting ready for our game and get our skate sharpened. So a guy comes in and he's got like a full beard and he's got like a giant afro because it's, you know, it's the 70s, man. And he comes in and hands the skates over to the guy and says, I feel like killing somebody tonight. And me and my buddy, we're giggling and we're laughing and saying, I'd hate to be playing that guy.
And you did?
And then they said, the guy behind the counter said, who are you playing? And he mentioned our team. And we were like, And the North Toronto Panthers, they all wear the North Toronto colors are green and red and white now. Back then, these guys wore all black. They had black socks with no stripes, black pants with no stripes, black sweaters with a panther on the front and a dark subdued gold stripe vertical down there that said like North Toronto or Panthers. And they were all huge and 3/4 of them were Italian and much more physically mature than we were at age 15. And it was terrifying.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Paul Gardner, who played in the NHL, played on that team, actually. But I love North Toronto. It's a beautiful
rink. North Toronto's
But Scarborough Arena is a great rink. St. Mike's is a fantastic rink.
Yeah.
I love the old Burns.
I haven't been in them in so long. I don't know which ones are still around.
People have been writing us some choice ones saying that they're
dumps. Like the center ice up in Agent Court. Remember, it's in the strip mall. It's like the 2 pads underneath. John Booth.
That used to be called Highland when it first started.
Right. Brutal barn.
Yeah.
John Booth, I forgot about that. Up at Jane and Finch. John Booth Arena, I remember that. Vic Park's pretty cool old rink.
Yeah.
Victoria Park, I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, Vic Village or whatever.
Vic Village, that's right. Yeah.
On Bermondsey.
Yeah.
That's cool. That place is cold and industrial. That's like a an industrial freezer.
Yeah. It was cool though.
Where Craig Berube grew up in Kalahoo, Alberta, the rink was just a tin can.
Yeah.
Like it was so cool. If it's minus 20
like
outside,
fold it over like that.
It's just like a barn.
Yeah.
With a rink inside of it, and you'd go play Kalahoo, and you'd have to fight for your life, parents and all. Like, it was just a gong show.
People are sending in pics. There's a bunch of them coming in from Newfoundland that it's that.
Yeah, it's just a tin can.
There's like a tin can. But there's a door, and then you go in, and there's ice.
Just
and you play.
Ready.
I love those old rinks. Because we were saying parents are spoiled now. Like, everyone sits up top at the bar, and they're all sheltered. And
yeah.
Back in the day, man, parents had to grind it out up in the stands.
Yeah.
Just freezing. Yeah.
I don't know.
Ted Reeve was a great barn.
Ted Reeve's a great barn.
Great old barn. And a lot of people are wondering, like Wexford, when you played there, there was Junior B. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they played the Scarborough Gardens, I guess it was called.
Yeah. That's when my son Mike played for the St. Mike's Buzzers, they had a great rivalry with the Wexford Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get in a playoff series with them, and it was Scarborough Arena, and then St. Mike's. I played Pee Wee hockey at the Scarborough Arena.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. Like the GTHL teams
that
played
was,
at Ted Reeve.
Yeah, Birchmount and Kingston Road right there by Birchmount Stadium.
Yeah, there's some great ones out there.
Brad Park's dad was my coach that year.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. There's some insight.
Exactly.
And Davey Keon used to watch we always saw Davey Keon because his son Dave Keon Jr., who works for the National Hockey League and is in the penalty box at the games. He played in the age group down from me, so our games were like at 7 or 7:30. His game was like at 6 o'clock, and so when we would show up to the rink, Davey Keon was always there.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, so keep sending in pics of rinks in the GTA.
Yeah,
there's awesome. A lot of them.
There's a curling rink, one of them.
That's Leaside. Leaside Arena's an old rink, too.
It's awesome. Ted Reeve... Leaside. When I played for Scarborough Lions that year, it was a four-team league. So there was Scarborough Lions with Scarborough Arena. There was Leaside Memorial Gardens, and Frank Mahovlich's dad and Peter's dad sharpened skates at Leaside Memorial Gardens.
There you go.
Lots of history.
And East York Arena is a cool rink,
East
too.
York. I think it's been renovated recently.
Just off. So that was the four-team loop. That was like the four best barns you could get for kids' hockey.
Port Credit out in Mississauga is a great rink.
I always think of that one as a lacrosse rink because that's where the Mississauga Tomahawks used to play Junior B, Junior A, whatever.
Are they still called that today? Probably not.
I think they are. I'm not sure.
Really?
We're doing a fundraiser for what city?
Beaton, Ontario.
That's
the home of Jim Rutherford.
Jimmy Rutherford's hometown.
Yeah, they're working on a new barn. It's about 20 years in the making.
It's been in the works.
Things are happening. The wheels are in motion.
You guys are going to push them over the top?
They deserve a new rink. Yeah. It's a great little town.
They've had 20 golf tournaments, and they can't fire a shovel in the ground
to get the barn
cooked up.
Works.
Don't worry about it. Okay? It's happening. I don't care what happens. We're getting that rink built and beaten. All right, Bob. Good seeing you, man.
Thanks, boys.
Here's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider.